Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just go before the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Lord, you're worthy of our praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the presence that is so strong in this place. God, I thank you for the rain that's outside. God, I thank you for the rain that's inside. God, we want you in this place, engulfing us, surrounding us. We are hungry for you, Lord. God, I pray as I share what you're wanting for me to share tonight, Lord, I pray that people and everyone in this room hears your heartbeat. Not me in any way, but here's you, Father. Here's your word. Prepare our hearts to receive what you have for all of us tonight, God. Lord, we love you. We're so grateful for you. Father, I thank you for what you have been doing in this series, Lord. Every Wednesday night, diving into your word, John, I thank you for what you have done in this time. And God, tonight as we bring this series to a close, God, I pray that even at this, Lord, we all are just continuously falling more and more in love with you. Because we're hearing more about you, we're discovering more about you, Father. Open up our ears to hear it tonight, God. Oh, we thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Praise you, Father. Amen. I didn't want to rush. I know God wants to do something tonight. In this message, we had Miss Margaret kind of looked at chapter 21, and when she said she wasn't going to be able to, I was like, okay, Lord, I'm supposed to share this tonight. And so I'm very excited about that. Miss Margaret's home, resting. She was sharing, I guess, last night at her Bible study, and I heard it was so good. It's always so good. Before I really get into this tonight, I want to say something about this series and about each one of you that has brought the word. You know, my prayer so often, and I pray for our church body all the time, I pray for the church as a whole, and I pray for growth in the church, but my prayer is spiritual growth as well. And I honestly pray that as more valuable and then even the church growth. And the reason why I pray for the spiritual growth is that as our body grows, when people come in, spiritually, we are so sound in the Word of God to be able to counsel and love and help and work with people. That we're not legalistic and we're not wrapped up with, oh, I can't believe you're, the legalistic thing. We're just welcoming in people. And maturely and rightly dividing the Word of God. Amen? And what I saw in this series, and as everyone was bringing out the Word and truly rightly dividing the Word of God, it was so beautiful to see the passions and the different ones coming out and bringing the Word. And everyone did such a beautiful, beautiful job. I was so proud. I've been so proud of everyone that has come up and shared a message. Everyone was thoughtful. They did homework. They studied. They dove into the scripture, the chapter, and brought a beautiful word from the chapter that was given to them to preach on. Yeah. And Lydia shared last Wednesday, and she mentioned about how much she's enjoyed this because it encouraged her to really dive deeper in the Word. And I just want to encourage you on this. And this is what me and Dad, we talk about this, is that just because you may not be preaching doesn't mean you don't need to be diving into the Word of God. You know, me and Dad both, we will preach. Dad preaches every single Sunday. I'll preach once, twice a month or so. And I'm reading in the Word of God, and I'm diving in the Scripture, but I'm not looking for things to just preach on. I'm looking to discover more about God. And as I'm diving in the Scriptures, when God shows me something that is something specifically for the church, then I'm going to dive into that area. But I just want to encourage you, don't just take, just because you're not preaching in a month or something, don't take this time and just kind of back off. Continue to dive into the Scripture. Continue to take that deep dive. You know, we're reading through the Bible right now, from cover to cover, 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sunday. Not even sure where we're exactly supposed to be, okay? I'm in it. I'm diving in it. I'm reading hard and heavy. I've got it listed, but I don't know where it's at exactly. I didn't look at it beforehand. But we read the Word of God, and we study it through. We're studying it. We're reading it as a whole. But I'm telling you, it's so important that we dive into an area. Maybe something, a Scripture. Find out the context of it. Read the whole chapter, a couple chapters behind. When you're reading it, something God speaks to your spirit about a verse that jumps out at you. Take some time on that. Find out what it's deeply meaning. Chew on that. Amen? But I just wanted to say that I'm so proud of every one of you that really took some time and brought out the Word. Now, we're on the final chapter. And this is about 40 days after Jesus' death when this happens. And now what I want to do is, there's 2 amazing things that happen in this chapter. And there's several moments, but there's 2 things that I want to land on. I'll put it that way. Yeah. And I want to read, we're going to read this, and then I'll stop and we'll talk about it for a moment. So let's just start reading John chapter 21, and we're verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. And then the morning had come, now come, Jesus stood on the shore, and yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat." That sounds familiar, don't it? "And you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw in it because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, and I want to just say that right there. I loved how Miss Lydia brought that out. I've read this a gazillion times, and I just never caught that. That was John. He's talking about John. That's okay. "Therefore, disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw the fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have just caught.' Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153, and And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now, I want to stop right there for a moment, just talk about this moment that happened. Now, there's so many ways we can look at this, what Jesus did here again for these guys, how he blessed them so abundantly. And one of the things I looked at this, and I just thought about just the obedience of this, of how when Jesus says, cast out your net over here. And it said they did it. They didn't really recognize it was Jesus at the moment, but they still did it. And I just think about that. And I think about so often how we're praying for God to do something and do this and this. And he says for us to do something. He'll say, okay, here's what you need to do. And then we don't do it because it's an inconvenience. It's not really what. And I think about this. I think about the pastor that rolled on the platform, right? He's wanting a move of God. And he's wanting something to happen. And then God tells him this is a beautiful story. This pastor was invited to a big church, and he's wanting a move of God. He's wanting God to move. He's wanting a breakthrough. He's excited about preaching, right? And he gets on the platform, and God tells him, before you preach, roll from one side to the other on the platform, right? And I was like, that is the craziest thing. And he says, okay, Lord, I'm going to be obedient to it. So he rolls, right, and goes back. And he gets up, and he starts preaching his message. But at the very end, an atheist comes, a guy that was an atheist, he came up and he said, I was coming here, and this was going to be my last time, kind of just to come. And I said, Lord, if you're real, have that pastor roll up on that platform. How cool. God just gave his heart over to God. Just obedience. And I think about this, and I think about with our finances and things of this nature, we work and we work and we work. But I think this is a beautiful thing is God gave us two hands and two feet to work and do for the kingdom of God. And it's not, I don't believe for a second we're just supposed to sit on our hands and feet and do nothing. We're supposed to be active and being obedient and working. Word of God says knock. That's physical. Go and seek him, right? To go after him, but to be obedient, to actually be active in this. And I'm telling you, when I read this story, I just think about this. As so many times we work and we work and we work. And when I just, let me rephrase this. It's so important we're listening to God's voice when we're working and doing, because God wants to do things. And this moment here, these guys stopped what they're doing. They've been doing this all night. And they said, okay, we're going to listen to this. And man, all of a sudden, God just poured out his blessings on this. And it's a beautiful moment, but that's not really the whole concept of the story that I wanted to land on. I just kind of want to just touch on this for a second. And the beautiful thing is we saw this again. This happened at the very, very beginning, didn't it? When Jesus was calling his disciples. And I think this is so significant that happened here in this moment with these disciples. And I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to land it here. I'm going to get here in this moment in just a second. I want to read this next part. And you talk about going full circle from the very beginning of Jesus calling his disciples to this moment from Jesus dying on the cross. And this next moment is probably one of the most intimate, most beautiful moments for me that has impacted my life so much. And I'm going to talk about it. I want to read through this. And my prayer is I'm as clear as I can be on this one here. Because it's a beautiful thing that this thing happens here. Verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord. You know I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again, second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. There's a depth in this passage that I'm not going to go to because there's a different verbiage with the Greek when it's talking about love. But I'm kind of a surface guy. It's what's just right here on the page, how it's read. It says this, it says, and said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. I think about this moment and what Jesus was doing to Simon, to Peter. See, Peter just 40 days before, had completely rejected Jesus. Three times. He says, I don't know you. I don't know him. Don't have anything to do with him. I don't know the guy. I've never met him. I don't. Completely rejected this guy, Jesus. Here's Peter for 3 years involved, falling in love with Jesus. He says, I don't even know the guy. He saw him raising the dead, eyes being open, limbs growing. Peter's like, I don't know him. You talk about pretty intense. Very moment Jesus met him, there's a miracle. The multitude of fish. Over and over, the beautiful encounters that Peter had with Jesus, over and over and over and over and over. Beautiful encounters, beautiful moments. Peter, upon this church, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And then Peter rejects him 3 times. When I think about this, I think about us. How we mess up. And what's so beautiful about this text is Jesus didn't say, Peter, I know you messed up. Peter, I know you rejected me. He didn't bring it up. He says, do you love me? Yes. Then run the race I've called you to run. And I believe every time he said that, some walls begin to drop off of Peter. Healing began to take over. I think about that, and I think about for 40 days, you know, Peter had been riddled with guilt. Rejecting the man that he had been with for 3 years. Jesus, you love me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Feed my sheep. Run after me. Run after me. Do what I've called you to do. And not one time did he say, Peter, I know you done messed up. We're going to need you to do some Hail Marys, okay? He just said, run the race that I've called you to run. We as a church, we get so caught up with failures. And guess what? Every single one of us has got those. And the enemy will come at every single one of us and just hammer you. Hammer you. I had breakfast with a friend of mine, and I hadn't had breakfast with him in a very long time, but I was feeling really strong to call him up. So, hey man, I have not had breakfast with you in a very long time. I drive by your work every day. Let's go have breakfast. And I was thinking he was going to text me back, say, yeah, let's have breakfast next week, blah, blah, blah. He's like, let's go tomorrow morning. Let's go. Okay. And I began to share him just some things that was on my heart. And he's like, bro, don't let that stop you, man. You run your race, man. I was like, okay, all right, okay, you're right. Because I was just kind of sharing some things that had bothered me that were kind of creeping up, some things that were in my mind in the past, a long time ago. And he's just like, run your race, bro. I'm like, okay. And then, and I'm diving into this, and I'm praying over this here in this time, and I just think about how many times the enemy comes at all of us and just says, you've got a past. You've been in jail. You've been in prison. You've got this over you. You've got this past. Jesus didn't do that to Peter. And he doesn't do that to us. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. Because we're all going to fall short. Think about this. And Jesus, guess what? He told Peter he was going to mess up. He said, look, you're going to mess up. No! No! Not me! Okay. And he does it 3 times. Guess what? God's told in the Word that he knows we were going to mess up. He did it while we were yet in our mess. He died on the cross while we were in our mess. Because he knows we're going to mess up. We're going to say some things. We're going to act a fool sometimes. We all have a story. We all have a past. We all got a testimony of what God has done for us. Woo-wee! We got testimonies. But the enemy just loves always coming at us. But that's not what Jesus did. And that's what we've got to stand on here. Jesus, this is, again, one of my favoriteest encounters, most poignant encounters that Jesus has with one of his disciples. And he just says, do you love me? Yes! Then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Run the race that I've called you to run! Let's go! And not one time. Again, I'm landing in this for a moment. Not one time. Well, Brother Roy, you've got a past, okay? And now we're going to let you preach. But you need to be careful. You got to be on your... You got to make sure you got to really pray. You really... Because you've got a past, brother. And that's not what the Word says. 1,000% he did. He says, just run the race. He knows every single thing about you. He knows your every aspect of your brain, how your brain works. He does. He knows every hair on her head. He created you, and he didn't create a mistake. It is so important that we grab a hold of this text, what Jesus did with Peter. He reinstated Peter. He said, I got you. I want you to run the race that I've called you to. I know you messed up. Stop soaking in it. Run the race. Mm-hmm. I need you. And here's what's so beautiful about what happened just at the very beginning. Here's what I believe when I read this text. I look at this and I see what God did at the very beginning. How God blessed him with this multitude of fish. And he got to visualize something grand all of a sudden right there. And then Jesus goes and says, if you love me, feed my sheep. Go out and do what I've called you to do. Go out and run the race that I've set before you, okay? And he saw this multitude of fish. And what does Jesus tell him at the very beginning? I'm going to make you fishers of men. And guess what happened right after that, man? Come on. In Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, man, the fire, Holy Spirit came down. Man, fire, God fell. And I could just see him visualizing this. God just multiplied this incredible thing, fish. He's going to do this incredible thing here. I'm making a fisher of men. So now he's going to go out and do this incredible, incredible thing. And that's exactly what happens. Multitudes of people coming to know Jesus Christ through Peter and through these disciples. If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, run the race that I've called you to. Stop dwelling. And again, I've preached on this so many times and I've talked about this. Nowhere in the Word of God does he tell us to sit there and zero in and lock in on our problems. Nowhere does it say this. That's why Jesus died on the cross for us, so we can be free, so we can run the race to go after it. And when we mess up and we act fool, get right back up and run. Keep going. Dad does it all the time when he yells at the goats. He has to say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry for what I said. I got to run the race. Okay, I'm going to get back. Call you out, Pastor. God's got a plan for each one of you. Just because God didn't call you to maybe pastor a church, he's called you for other amazing things. Each one of us has a purpose and a call of God on our lives. But brother, we got some preachers in here. We do. Got some powerful preachers up in here. Let's just finish this out. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciples whom Jesus loved following, who also leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Verse 21, Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Verse 22, Jesus said to him, If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren at the disciple that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is it that to you? This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Verse 25, and this is where I'm just going to wrap up here. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. There are so many beautiful things that we've heard through the gospel according to John that I have found to just be so, just beautiful. We're the whole thing with this series is date night with Jesus, was falling in love with Jesus. And the whole part about falling in love with Jesus is what we talk about so many times is when we fall in love with him, guess what? We want to hear more about him. So we read more about him and we listen. We come to church. We hear the preaching. And guess what? When we hear more about him, we discover more about him, Miss North. We just fall in love with him even more. And guess what happens when we fall in love with him even more? We just want to hear more about him. And then when we hear more about him, we fall in more in love. Sing. I probably don't, but it's okay, go ahead. Amen. I love it. I had to mute my microphone, so I wanted to sing, so I didn't want y'all to hear me sing. You know, just for a few moments, here's what I want us to do. If you have been struggling with stepping out and really running the race that God has called you, if you've been hesitant because you feel like the enemy's just been kind of keeping things over you, I want to pray for you tonight. God wants to do something tonight. Because God wants you free.
Oh, yeah.
To run the race that he has set before you. To be free from any guilt, shame, anything. Fears. Any hesitation, doubts. If you've been struggling with something, Brother North, would you play that? We're going to play some music here for a few minutes, and I want us to pray. If you've been struggling, Brother Roy, would you come up here with me?